And it's interesting to see how actual real members of the special forces seem willing to face these unspeakable hardships and difficulties and massive, massive risk, all for the sake of the cause. And they do that knowing that their mission is to simply get the job done. But here's the thing, when you watch those programs and you hear the instructors who were one day soldiers in the SAS talk, they will talk about a brotherhood. I guess now it's a brother and sisterhood because girls can join the SAS too now. A brother and sisterhood that is deeper than anything else they had ever known. A knowledge that when you are on mission, when you are on out there on the mission that you've been sent on, that the fellow soldiers in your unit who are with you, they will watch your back and they will do whatever it takes to get the mission done and get you back to safety. So whatever happens, whatever happens to you, they will do what it takes. And they absolutely know that. They have 100% confidence in the fellow members of their unit. And they also have this understanding that the unit as a whole will equip them and be there for them and do whatever it takes for you to see the mission through. Well, let's be honest. None of us willingly wants to go into suffering. Nobody wants to do that. And yet Paul, when he's writing to these Christians in Colossae, says, when I'm telling people about Jesus and then I get mobbed and people start throwing stones at me, I rejoice. And he says that when I bring the gospel to this new place, but people turn on me and they gang up on me and they have me thrown in prison for the night, I rejoice. What on earth? How can he say this? And then he goes on and he gives us a real headache when he writes this. He says, and I fill up in my flesh the afflictions of Christ Jesus that are lacking for the sake of his body, the church. Get your head around that phrase. I fill up in my flesh the afflictions of Jesus that were lacking for the sake of his body. What is he saying? Is he saying that somehow the death of Jesus on the cross wasn't actually enough? That he needs to top it up with a bit of extra suffering on top? Is that what he's saying? Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Please tell me that sounds weird. It sounds weird because it is weird and it is not what he is saying. Now what Paul is saying is he's spelling out that the death of Jesus on the cross is this cosmic spiritual earthquake that sends shocks and aftershocks and reverberations through the whole created order, spiritual, heavenly and physical, and rocks it to the core. But we know, don't we, that any physical on earth earthquake then has aftershocks. It's the same with the cross of Christ. The earthquake that caused has aftershocks that were continuing through Paul's day and continue in our day today. And each and every aftershock is still evil, and all the malign forces and spiritual world that doesn't want to align with God convulsing and trying to writhe and fight back. And if it had their way, they would try and crucify Jesus over and over and over again. But it comes as waves and waves of persecution. But here's the thing, no matter how many waves come, no matter how many more attempts, Jesus has already died on the cross, and his death on the cross is absolutely sufficient, enough for everyone, for the whole world and the created order. Just to get that into your heads. The death of Jesus dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, a historical event, is enough for everyone. But here's the thing. Paul lived his whole life in Christ and with Christ in him. So he is now a walking, talking, representative member of Christ's body physically on earth. So when these aftershocks come, when these persecution waves come, they ripple through him and his body, and he takes that as suffering. For the very reason that he is in Christ and Christ is in him, he takes the suffering through himself. It's called identification. He fully identifies with Christ. The aftershocks, the persecution, is directed at Christ, but because Paul is in Christ and Christ is in him, it goes through him and his fellow believers. Now, here's the thing. Paul understands that when people start throwing stones at him or locking him up, he understands that in the grand scheme of things, those people are not actually trying to get at him personally. They are trying to get at Christ. Why does he know this? Because once upon a time, he himself was one of the people persecuting followers of Jesus. He was himself trying to round them up and throw them into prison. And then he went on this journey to this other town, Damascus, to round up a few more followers of Jesus there and put them in the clink. But God intervened and knocked him off his horse, literally, and their blinding flashing lights and all that good stuff. And then the voice of God, the voice of Jesus speaking to him directly, what did that voice say? It's a bit confusing because it said Saul. He'd changed his name, get over it at some point, changed his name from Saul to Paul. Said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" In other words, your attempt to lock up followers of Jesus is a direct persecution on me, Jesus. That's how Paul understood this so clearly, so that when people were getting at him, now he's a follower of Jesus, now he's in Christ, and Christ is in him, he understands that really they're just trying to get to Jesus. But he goes with that. He says, this is part of a deal, this is part of a cause, this is what I signed up to. But that's a question for us, isn't it? Would we sign up to that? Would we sign up to the cause and identify with Christ so clearly that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, so that when the convulsions come, when the aftershocks come, when the waves of persecution come, they will come and affect our body? Would we sign up for that? That's the cause. The kingdom cause that Paul is signed up to. He is a servant of Jesus. He is commissioned by the King of Kings. Soldiers in the British Army serve Queen and country. Well, Paul serves Jesus, the King of Kings, and is commissioned by him and sent by him to present the good news telling of Jesus. Paul calls it, he has a phrase for it. He says, the word of God in all its fullness. And that's not simply explaining the Bible to people. It will include that. But the word of God in all its fullness is Jesus. So his mission, his cause that he's signed up to and he's going for and will embrace whatever suffering comes his way in the pursuit of that cause is to tell people the mystery revealed, which is now in Jesus, all can be saved. But he does that with a couple of things. He does that knowing that he's not alone, that he has his units, the church, the people, the other followers of Jesus, who he trusts will watch his back and themselves do whatever it takes to see the mission through and to try, if they possibly can, to keep him safe. He also does that knowing that the end result is absolutely assured. The difference there, when any army soldiers go on their mission, they can't know what the end result will actually be. It could go hideously wrong. The army might surprise them, or the enemy might surprise them, or whatever. Paul knows the end result. He knows that the victory is assured because it's already assured with Jesus dying on the cross, which is enough for everyone. And so Paul will happily go into situations. He'll say, look, I'll do it for the sake of the body. I will be the point man. The point man is the first who gets the bullet, by the way, if you can't work that out. I will be the point man. I will draw the enemy fire so that others might be able to get on with their gospel witness less hindered. You know, I would happily do that for the cause of spreading the gospel. See, Paul understands that the way of Christ is a way of suffering, a way of laying ourselves down. You see, the violence and the messed upness of evil out in the world is not going to be overcome by more violence. It's not going to be overcome by human strength or human types of army or power or might. It is going to be overcome by Jesus exhausting it with his life laid down on the cross. And so the calling is for us to continue in that same way of lives laid down. So we never fights with human might or clever argument or brute force or weapons, but with the different spiritual tactics of the way of Jesus. So a question for us to consider, Ollie will bring it on the screen, is for yourself. Can you imagine being a servant of Jesus and his church? Can you imagine that in the kind of parameters that I've just expressed? What could it mean for you? You might not be Paul, the traveling preacher, traveling across the whole Middle East and much of the Roman Empire, but it could mean something else for you. But what could it mean for you to live in his way, to be unashamedly living and acting for the cause of telling people the mystery revealed Jesus Christ? In him, everyone can be put back right with God. But remember that you might think, well, wow, this is wacky, this is off a scale, this is too much. But remember, you never do it, whatever it means for you, you never do it alone. You do it in the most incredible brother and sisterhood that's called the church. So you do it with these people who are around you right now, and more some. That's why our corporate, our togetherness, our gathering together on Sundays like these is so important for us, because we're not supposed to be lone rangers. We're not supposed to just try to slog it out on our ownio somewhere. We do it together with other people in our unit, people who watch out for us, who have our backs, who will do whatever it takes to see you complete the cause and safely through the other side. Church should be a wonderful, wonderful thing as a collection of people serving the same cause, Christ as their head, laying themselves down for his cause and therefore for each other and for the world. And that unit will equip you with whatever you need for your part in the cause. The unit will equip you because Christ himself will equip you. Christ in you. Remember what I said about the SAS, how they have this incredible sense of brotherhood, how they have this absolute trust in the unit equipping and doing whatever to see them through. Well, we have better than that. We have each other with Christ in us. Paul captures it in the last phrase of that little snippet of reading that we had, where he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, Jesus doesn't just leave us to try and work it out as a collection of people and individuals messing around and working it out on our own steam and with ourselves trying to figure it out. No, he equips us directly by his Spirit living in us. No SAS soldier, unless they believe in Jesus, has that. But we do. The Spirit of God equipping and empowering us for the task. So I want you to think about this question now. Can you imagine being a servant of Jesus and his church? What could it mean for you? Maybe for some of you, you know, this is what it means for me. And this is what it's going to mean in the foreseeable future as far as I can see ahead. In a moment, we're going to pause and pray. Then there's going to be some music. And I want to invite you to either turn to your neighbour and thrash around this question. Or if you would really like to just sit quietly and self-pontificate what it means, that's fine as well. Or have someone pray with you. And you can do that by either tapping the person nearby, someone you trust, or find me. I'll be over in the back corner over there. Find me there. I will organise someone to pray with you. But before we get there, let's just pray together before we have that time. Lord Jesus, we see in your coming, your life, your death, your resurrection, your victory, that you gave everything for your cause, and your cause was us, this city, this nation, the whole world. You gave everything for that. Lord, help us simply reflect that back and be part of your cause. Empower us, show us where we can correct, show us where we might have been lacking. Thank you for your forgiveness, that you dispel the guilt that we might feel about that. You will melt that away and equip and empower us to go forward with you. Amen. So I invite each of you, it's a 5-minute track, so you can talk with your neighbour, come and find me for prayer. At the end of the track, the musicians will just come up and start with the music. You can continue praying with each other as that music starts. What could it mean for you? Can you imagine being a servant of Jesus and his church? Off you go.